can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
Broadcasting.org is the website, completely listener funded, so do your thing if possible. It is May 23rd, 2021, and you know, the strange thing is the every day that passes by, there's more and more kooky things that we're seeing with these hackscenes, these biohackscenes. You know, I've been calling them genetic tampering injections of late. Now I'm going to change it from GTIs to GSIs. Instead of genetic tampering injections, how about let's use genetic sabotage injections, GSIs. So let's spread that one around, GSIs, genetic sabotage injections. So for the first hour, coming from Down Under is Sean Surplus. He's going to join me, and we're going to kind of bounce back and forth and talk about lockdowns down there and vaccine passports, and we're going to talk about how this crown country that Sean lives in, you know, is dealing with what we saw before, the draconian nutty things in parts of Australia. I understand it was kind of a mixed bag down there depending on the area. So we're going to get into some of that, and we'll just kind of do big picture. We'll run across the Israeli Palestinian stuff, and we'll try to hit all you know, all everything we can. So Sean, welcome.
Hi, how you going there, Rob?
I'm good, man. How are you doing tonight? Good?
Yeah, well, it's this morning here. I got up at 5 this morning to do the broadcast over on my website, and I'm still awake. Haven't got work at the present time, so it would be nice to have a sleep, but I'm really grateful that you invited me on so we can talk about this stuff. You know, I'll never stop. So here we are.
So our president... Well, pseudo-president, whatever he is in chief, he's warning the unvaccinated will pay a price. You know, he did that this week. And so as far as what you can tell, what's going on in your area, how strong is the coercion right now to get the jab?
You know, it's the same sort of thing going on in your neck of the woods. They're trying to coerce us into getting the fights, the jab, the merc, the whole lot. There's half of me is grateful that there's a lot of people that are actually saying no to it, but there's half of me is not grateful that there's another half of the population that is just buying into the whole propaganda. That this, you need to get a vaccine, and if you don't, you're going to suffer, and you're going to make those. But the bigger thing is that they're saying that you're going to make people suffer around you. And I'm thinking, well, hold on a second. You know, they're the ones being vaccinated. There was just a woman recently, in the last 2 years, that was working at one of the supermarkets that I know of. And I can't mention it, but for legal reasons, of course. But what happens is she was actually saying to me, you know, I want to get the vaccine, the flu vaccine, but every time I get it, I get the flu. And I thought, well, go figure. And then all of a sudden she's dead. She got the flu vaccine and she died. Now, I can't be clear whether she died of that or not, but I'm given the fact that she was elderly and that she got the flu vaccine, it wouldn't surprise me. So I'll put it that way. Yeah.
You know, just as you're talking about that, some of the doctors like Giuseppe over at Revolution mentioned that he's been interviewing for a while, Dr. Judy Mikovits and some of these others.
Yeah.
They have basically a hypothesis that the flu vaccine is steadily becoming, has been over the last number of years, more and more weaponized. And so that's not really a surprising thing. You know, have you been seeing all this about how people are thinking about so many of these are placebos and so many of them are basic kill shots? Have you kind of looked at that kind of paradigm?
Yeah, placebo effect, not to mention all of the so-called famous people. I mean, I've never been buying into the fame game. But also the famous people and the Gateses, if you will, getting injected with just salt water and pretending that they're actually getting the shot. It's BS. It's just total BS. And you know, when you ask them, when you write to them and say, "Hey, give me proof. Let us take a blood sample of what was injected into you," they won't do it. They refuse to do it. They refuse to even reply to you, you know. So no, I just don't buy it. You know, I've never been vaccinated in my life, Rob. The only one vaccination I ever had, if you want to call it a vaccination, was a tetanus shot. When I was a wee boy, my mother actually said that, you know, we're going to have to get you a tetanus shot because you stepped on a rusty nail. She wasn't educated in the fact that, tetanus actually comes from soil. It doesn't come from rusty nails. That was BS in itself. This has all started from, you know, the Rockefeller foundations and stuff like that, where they, John D. Rockefeller, when he was actually saying that we need to take you away from homeopathic medicines and stuff like that. And that's why so many homeopathic people, as you've discussed in the past on your broadcast, as I heard, homeopathic nurses and doctors have gone missing.
Strange deaths, like a lot of strange deaths. Especially remember when that whole Nogales thing popped up about cancer and all of these naturopathic doctors and so forth were really hitting on this kind of linchpin into cancer. And they used this chemical compound called Nogales. And when that blew up, all kinds of these doctors a couple of years ago,
they were diving off cliffs.
Strange deaths. Yeah, and I think that was almost a primer because the bastards that run this whole thing knew that the COVID thing was coming down the pike. And so if these people were smart enough to figure out the Nogales aspect of the cancers and so forth, then they were like, we got to get rid of these people premeditated to get them out of the way beforehand so we can try to take some of these high level, performers in the naturopathic world out of the picture.
Yeah, and it didn't necessarily need to be COVID. They knew there was something coming down the pike, as you said. But at the time, they hadn't planned what it was going to be. It just turns out that in the end, they thought, all right, let's cook up this whole COVID thing. I mean, our dogs, our cats have had COVID. We've had probably strains of COVID in our lives, and we've gotten through it, no worries at all, because it's just a flu. But what they've done is they thought, all right, we can't cook up something decent, so let's just use the word COVID at 19, and then put it out there to get people nervous, get people scared, get people to stay in their houses, and get people then vaccinated so that they die. There's over 4,000 people that have died of this now. So, I mean, when it comes to the vaccination. So, and I've got sources for that in case your audience need it. I can forward that on to you. So, like, that's what their aim is. They're killing us softly. Oh, look, get your vaccine. You'll be healthy if you get your vaccine. And then people die and they say, oh, it was, well, no, that person didn't die of COVID. You know, rah, rah, rah. You know, these days, as we've said in the past, you know, you get run over by a steamroller, COVID. You get run over by, or you drop out of a plane, COVID. But now all of a sudden they've changed their tune. Oh, no. It's not COVID. It's okay. Everything's fine. But where they're injecting us with something that resembles COVID, that is a much bigger strain, something that they've created themselves. It's like dropping, stuff out of the sky.
Now, check this out, Sean. I wanted to run this by you while we're on the air. Now, this is on stateofthenation.co. Quaternary, and I've been mentioning this, quaternary weapon system activated before each coronavirus cluster explosion. Now, this is before the vaccine, but they're talking about, okay, the COVID-19 possible bioweapon, 5G energy weapon, chemtrail chemical weapons, and weaponized COVID vaccine. So that's the four, quaternary. The actual or initial virus, whatever the thing is, the 5G, and you're seeing this stuff about 5G flu and all this other stuff. You've got whatever's being sprayed out of the skies, and then you've got whatever's in these genetic sabotage injections. So people are talking about a four-pronged attack. And now over on Macau's site today, it's kind of interesting. He's got this thing, an article up about messenger RNA bombs contained that spread massive cytokine storms of spike proteins on our crops, farm animals, which we eat, into our water supply and into our lungs. So even as a way, the idea behind this is to prevent the unvaccinated from avoiding the lethal effects of the experimental eugenics bioweapons. So they're trying to get everybody, even those us refuse nicks. And you know, the whole spike protein thing, kind of the shedding angle that they're talking about, to where it's like, okay, we don't even give a crap if we hit everybody with the jab, because they're going to come in contact with the dummies that took it, and they're going to get the spike proteins anyway. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's why a lot of us are saying it's not even a vaccine. You know, with the whole RNA, DNA deal and everything like that, when you compare it all and what's going on with how this whole so-called vaccine is created, it actually gets your body to work in a way where your immune system works against itself. And then later the disease attacks you, and the immune system, because it's attacked itself, can't fight. You know, and also, like, one of those elements that you were talking about, which is the whole deal where they're dropping things from the sky, you know, contrails, chemtrails, versus the thing is, like, I was showing my daughter just the other day, and she's only 15, and even she gets it. I said, look at that. That's a contrail. You can see how that is just jetting along behind the plane, no problem, and it's disappearing very quickly. And then it was probably 2 days later, and I said, now that is a chemtrail. Why isn't that disappearing? And she's like, Dad, I can see it.
What's crazy is, think about the ability of these people that have this power to spray these skies, to tinker with the components. Okay, let's say that they were relatively, well, not, let's not say innocuous in years past. They started around 99, but think about now when it's go time, when they've got the shot flying into arms. Who's to say that they're like, okay, now it's time to load special batch number 666 into the planes. let's get them.
I know it's scary stuff. You know, like the four elements that you're talking about, isn't it almost like when you go back to the movie, like the fifth element, fire, water, earth, air, and then you've got the fifth element, which is love, and they use love against you. They're basically like, if you really love your loved ones, then get the inoculation. You know, like they use movies in a way to warn us of what they're going to do in the first place, because that's a part of their whole ceremony, if you will.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy is I was talking about this last week. I was like, this is my big weakness when I was talking about predictive programming. I was like, because, you know, and I heard you talking on a show over on the other network, Revolution. You were on the yesterday with Giuseppe and those guys, and you were like, you know, I don't watch TV. And see, I don't watch movies anymore. I pretty much chucked Hollywood and all the Jews that put all this garbage together. But the one part where it almost gives me a blind spot is I don't get subjected to the predictive programming. And so they're, you know, and it's like, you know, it is like a needle in a haystack anyway, trying to look at, you know, a million movies and then try to figure out, okay, well, where's the needle in this whole haystack where they're telling you what's coming. But that's one of my blind spots, because I don't watch movies and all that. And so I'm not subjected to the predictive programming, and then I can't even attempt to decipher it. Like guys like Ole Domegaard and these guys, I mean, heck, they do some heavy lifting. But I just, you know, I'm not privy to it because I don't watch it.
No, I hear you, and I don't blame you. Oh, like, we don't watch television, or we don't listen to mainstream radio. We listen to a lot of alternative radio. I do watch some movies, shows, when it comes to downloading, if you will. Like, for instance, Firefly. There was a reason Firefly was kicked off the air after one season, and that's because Joss Whedon, people like Joss Whedon, are putting the message out there, knowing full well what's going on, and he puts it out there in a show-type way, and there's a reason he got kicked off the air by Fox in the first season. It's because Fox knew exactly what he was saying, and he was basically saying the feds, the government, and people beyond that. So these are the sorts of shows that I watch. People beyond that are, you know, like the as Edward Bernays was saying in the Hidden Hand and everything like that, that sleazebag, you know, Sigmund Freud's nephew. He was talking about there's a hidden hand which actually governs the governed, and all of that. You know, Joss Whedon knows what's going on. That's why he did Cabin in the Woods and movies like that. So I will watch movies like that will put me in the right direction. I don't blame you, though, for not wanting to watch any of it, because it really is. It's always going to be Hollywoodized. That's why Mel Gibson went missing for a while, because, after he said, you know, the Jews are the cause of all the wars, he was absolutely correct in what he said. The Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, all of those, he was absolutely correct in what he said. But, you know, to have him disappear for a while, you know there's something wrong. And Joss Whedon was the same type of person. He said, I couldn't believe that I got blanked. I got disappeared for a while and had to do other productions because I did what I did. But he's not, you know what really disappoints me, Rob, is the people that, like him and Mel, don't come out, and they've got the millions to do it, don't come out and say, look, I've already got the millions. I can sit back and relax and talk about what's really going on behind those doors, and they don't do it. Joss could have even came out and said, it was Fox that closed us down because we were exposing the truth in I guess you could say, a performance way, in an entertainment way. And that's what some of them are doing.
But a lot of times, you know, there's things that probably we can't see, pressures and on to that person, threats and these sorts of things. I mean, you know, you get into some of the way that the Hollywood mob works. They put IRS agents onto them, and so many people in Hollywood that, let's say, buck the system, and then all of a sudden the IRS is going after them for tax evasion. Things get found on their computer, compromising things. You know, these bastards can throw anything on your computer they want. You know,
I'm glad you pointed that out. You know what they do too, is what they do is they hack into your computer. They put a whole heap of bad shit on your computer, and then they can say, look at that. He's got child porn, or he's got like dog porn or horse porn or something, you know? And then all of a sudden this person's like, what the hell? I'm not into this stuff. And then they drag you out of your house kicking and screaming and saying, well, you had horse porn and child porn, rah, rah, rah. And you say, no, I didn't. What the, you know? So this they do, and they've got the best hackers in the world. They've got the like the likes of Kevin Mitnick. Now, I'm not saying that he's one of them that does it, but I'm saying the brains that are equal to that of Kevin Mitnick. So then all of a sudden, it's just sort of like Skull and Bones, you know, where George W. Bush lays down in a coffin naked and they take photos of him and they say, if you say anything, we'll just put these photos out on the internet, rah, rah, rah. It's that sort of deal. So, it's scary.
Yeah, that's
stuff.
That's the unfortunate part is, you know, people got to make choices. People got families, and I understand, you know, when those pressures come, and that's why there's people languishing in prisons right now all around the world, whistleblowers and that sort of thing, and there's people lying in coffins, due to this. You know, as the protocols say, the serpent that basically puts everybody in a vice, protocol 3. And so this thing's a very, very tight mafia, and they don't like, you know, like we can do radio here on this network and others, and they do an actuary and they do an algorithm, be like, you know what? We're not even going to touch them right now. They're not even reaching enough people to where they piss me off. But the moment you do, that's when the target individual kind of gang stalking thing might begin, and then that's when the worse might begin. You know, your car blows up. Thrown on your computer. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, did you see what happened to Tesla? I mean, not everyone's favorable of Tesla. They think that he might have been a turd in the punch bowl, so to speak. But if you have a look at what happened to Tesla, he was really intelligent. He was obsessive compulsive. He would not touch toilet doors or anything like, or what you call bathroom doors. He wouldn't do anything like that. He was really up there in intelligence. And I'm not saying that obsessive compulsive disorder is intelligence. What I'm saying is that because of his intelligence, he was obsessive compulsive. There's just some of us that go through that. Well, you know, he should have died a rich man in many ways. He had a technology that was wireless all that way back when, to the point where he could put light bulbs in the ground in his property and they would light up. He should have died a rich man, but the Morgans came along and said, hold on a second. No, we want you to be making a cable system. And he said, why? Because I can give you free energy. And he said, we don't want free energy. We want to be able to bill people, and the only way we can do that is through a cable and through like a digital sooner or later a digital system.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
you know, Trump's uncle got to grab all of Tesla's documents and work, so forth and so on. That was a big thing that's always floated around in alternative media circles, that Trump's uncle was the guy that got to snatch up Tesla's things and absorb them for the U.S. government.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Just how they it sort of reminds me of Operation Paperclip, where, you know, after the war they went in there and snapped up all of the technology that what was his name, the German fella that was working,
Wernher von Braun, and all those characters with the NASA that got transplanted over here.
Yeah, but also the gentleman that was actually making anti-gravity technology, and it was called the UFOs of the Third Reich. I mean, you take a look at all the information they took about that. They had UFOs literally hovering in the air through anti-gravity technology. And what they did is after the war, they went in there via Operation Paperclip. People can look it up themselves. And they were snapping up all of the technology they possibly could. The governments were snapping it up. I think it was the English government at first, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken. But then the American government came in and snatched it out of their hands.
Yeah, a lot of the best and brightest minds, sure. And put them right into our intelligence, military, industrial complex and made them work for us. Yeah.
And when you take a look at like Pine Gap here in Australia, there's a lot of strange stuff being delivered to that underground base. And that underground base, by the way, is the main communications for the world. So when your military industrial complex has to communicate to somebody and they need a proxy, Pine Gap is what's used. But there's stuff going on underground there that is seriously unheard of. There's these massive trucks that deliver these huge pieces of what look like crafts. Now, we see crafts that are hovering around ovals, like footy ovals, and they're bigger than the footy oval itself.
Yeah.
And they've got no noise. Now, do they come from other worlds? No, I don't think so. I just think that they're world leaps and bounds ahead of the technology that we know when it comes to the military industrial complex and everything like that. It's
I've got that in my notes for tonight. Sightings all over. The whole alien invasion is the next shoe to drop. The your blue beam type of thing. The Pentagon, all the stuff that the Pentagon allegedly next month is going to declassify. I mean, the speculation. Your usual guys like Rents and all those guys who have been into the UFO stuff since the internet came up. But it's just off the charts right now. The entire kind of arguments going back and forth between whether these are, interdimensional beings, off-worldly races, or demonic kind of fallen angel realm beings teaching man things. I mean, there's so much argument going back and forth. It's crazy to watch right now.
I think that, the demonic thing comes into play. Whether you be religious or not, these beings, whether they come from another realm or another planet or anything like that, they do see themselves as demonic and they enjoy it.
Some of these legendary UFO guys, Jacques Vallée and all those guys, some of those guys were pretty convinced that these were kind of like a malevolent kind of spiritual beings that were, doing these things, interacting with our species and our planet here.
Yeah. Look, the whole fallen angels thing, but we're also, what shocked me a bit was Eustace Mullins before he passed. I've still got a Eustace Mullins archives running over WTFR, 107.9 FM. And one of the things he said that shocked me, and I never expected this from him because I didn't necessarily think that he was religious. I'd heard a whole lot of his, everyone wanted to interview him, and I heard a whole lot of his interviews and everything like that. And then I heard him say, oh, yes. I don't know whether they're, something along these lines, don't quote me verbatim, you'd have to listen to the archives, but he said something along these lines. Yes, they're creatures. They're not human. He said, I was staying with a part of the royal family in a certain building, and I saw one of them running on all fours across the floor in a way that humans can't do. and that really freaked me. And I was sort of, because coming from Eustace Mullins, such a balanced man, I was always like, oh, the whole reptilian thing and rah rah rah. And I'm still not convinced, but
the break, Sean, hold that thought, because I want to kind of bounce something off of you in that realm. All right, there's the break, folks. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Sean.
the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
We are talking with Sean Surplus from Australia, WTFR, Where Thought Is Free Radio. The website is TCTA Unleashed. www.sean.com. That you can find all of Sean's archives there and so forth. So we were talking about Eustace Mullins, and he was a pretty logical guy. You never hear him really talking about any kind of supernatural. Yeah, go ahead.
Before you continue, sorry to cut you off, Rob.
Yeah.
The gentleman that was just singing, is his name Stuart?
That is an Australian band called Fortress.
And is the lead singer named Stuart?
I don't know. That's a song called "Defend Europe" from an Australian kind of skinhead metal band called Fortress. Very, very good band, by the way.
He sounds very similar to a dude that passed away.
Called Ian Stewart from Screwdriver, yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's a different band.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's an Aussie band right there, Fortress. You should dig into them and look around and get in contact with them if they're still... That was a 2016 or 2018 record, Fortress. Okay. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know, he was played him on the show, or played somebody on the show by the name of Stuart that had died. He wrote the music and he played the music and everything like that. So, and sung the music. So yeah, I was just wondering whether it was the same person that
You might be talking about Ian Stuart Donaldson, the legendary British skinhead guy from the band Screwdriver, and then he went on and did some other stuff with other bands and some solo stuff as well. Really,
I promised the audience that I'll ask you the question because I know that you play a dude that sounds very similar to him. So yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, we were talking about Eustace Mullins. Yeah, he was. Yeah. He freaked me out a bit because Eustace Mullins. I mean, you know who this dude is. He's very balanced. He's not insane.
Secrets of the Federal Reserve, Curse of Canaan, all those great books.
I mean, he was living in the library itself for a while. To hear him.
Here's what I wanted to run by you. Okay, he saw. Let's say a member of the royal family on all fours moving. Let's just say in a supernatural way, right? So, you know, the David Icke kind of folks, we're going to talk about a reptilian almost as a bloodline, okay? And that gets in kind of with the biblical Nephilim realm as well. Serpent seed, the seed of the serpent.
The Nephilim.
Which were fallen angels that impregnated women and so forth. And you know, you get into the Merovingian bloodlines and some of the royals that believed that somehow they were, let's just say, had supernatural bloodlines and so forth. But I would like to kind of pose this angle. Whether they act reptilian, blah 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 blah, maybe due to the fact that they're in that elevated place. Now it could be genetic, it could be like a download of in the DNA, but it also could be in the spirit realm. You've seen the movies The Exorcist and so forth and so on. If you get into like parts of the Bible where it talks about powerful spiritual entities that are in charge of cities, Prince of Persia and other things, I almost make it like this. When you're somebody like a Prince Philip or the Queen or somebody, due to the fact that you are alleged royalty and you're in a very powerful position, then a spirit of some sort could possess you. And especially if you get into some of the child rape and the Jimmy Savile stuff that these people are allegedly all into. The demon that inhabits that individual, whether their bloodline is, you know, satanic or not, could make them, just as you've seen with all these you know, demonic possession cases where the person crawls up the wall and all that strange stuff. It could be the spirit that inhabits them, and it could actually make them act in what people would decipher as reptilian. So I kind of look at it glass half full or glass half empty. Sure, it could be because of their bloodline. It could be a download that's followed through their family history from some sort of an evil entity that impregnated one of their great-great-great-whatever grandmothers. Or it could be a spiritual possession phenomenon that makes them emanate that sort of supernatural behavior.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I'm not religious, so I'm not convinced either way. And even when Eustace said what he said, it's still very hard for me to believe, Rob, like for something to be crawling across. But given that, you know, I mean, you've got humble beginnings and he had humble beginnings and everything like that. So when I listen to people like yourselves, and you and Eustace, I'm sort of like, wow. You know, there's no reason that, like, for instance, if you said to me,
have you really seen, like, in your personal life, have you had any kind of contact with a situation or anything that would be considered coming up, butting up against supernatural, you know, A, B, C, or D?
Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
There was one instance, and I don't know whether, because I do believe that our mind can control things unknowingly. You know, that whole sixth sense, I do believe in that.
The power of the brain, unaccessed.
Yeah.
Unaccessed power that sometimes you access by under stress, duress, or something of that nature. Sure, I get what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. I was 9 years old, and there was a Christian cross, because we grew up as a Catholic Christian family. There was a Christian cross hanging off a home bar where you would serve drinks when you had guests. And my brother went away and he said, look, you can stay here by yourself, even though I'm meant to babysit you at the moment. You can stay here by yourself. You're old enough now. My mother wouldn't have been impressive of it if she found out that he left me alone. But he went away, and I wanted to be with my big brother. My big brother was like, you know, I followed him everywhere. You know, he's four years older than me. So what I did is I did a hoax call. I basically called him up in the old phones, you know, the old dial phones. Mm-hmm. This is how long ago it was. And I said, you've got to come quick. You've got to come quick. The house is haunted. Rah, rah, rah. You've got to come quick. You know, the cross is moving. And then the cross started moving.
Mm.
So I'm sort of like, whoa. And, you know, no reason to BS people. People listen to my broadcast all the time, and they know I say it as I see it, and I say it in a rough value. I don't hold back with anything, whether it be my whole family, the whole lot. I say everything the way I see it. And the only other thing that I experienced was we had what we call a cubby house. We were falling trees as kids, like you basically pull like climb up the tree, saw it down, and we were making a log cabin, a small log cubby house. And then one day I thought, well, my brother's gone, he must be up at the cubby house. So I walked up there, and there was a naked black man standing there, and his foot was caught in a rabbit trap. And as soon as he saw me, his eyes went wide, and he started wiggling his leg as quickly as possible. And, of course, as being a nine-year-old boy, I ran like hell. I got the hell out of
it.
I was like a ferret. I ran like a ferret all the way home. And I said to my brother, you've got to come up and see this. You've got to come up and see this. Him and his friend, Andrew, came up, and they had a look. There was definitely a rabbit trap there, and there was definitely blood. But the black man was gone. And they said, you said he's naked? And I said, yeah. And they said, oh, it just looks like there's been a rabbit caught here. And then years later, my brother said, I remember when you told that story about the black man. I said, yeah, because it was true. And he said, really? I said, yes, it was true. Now, he actually equated it to maybe this person was from back in time or something like that. You know, some people, even when I tell the story, say, oh, well, maybe he was a ghost. I don't know. But the thing
maybe he saw you and you turned around and ran, but maybe he freed himself from the trap and ran off. I mean, that's a natural explanation, I guess.
No, well, of course. No, I think that's what happened. But what was he doing naked in the trap? And
that happens a lot with some of these characters in our country, so they run around naked.
We're talking about a town of 50 houses, no more. It was a very small town. There was no reason for a black man to be there. There was no black man in our town, and no reason for him to be in what's called the Kentucky State Forest. If you want to look it up, ladies and gentlemen, Kentucky State Forest in a town called Baldale. You'll see
how far away was it from the nearest place where there would be one of these individuals?
Oh, there was none. There was no. There was no Africans back then in any of the cities near there. So there was Albury, Lavington, Wodonga, all of those. But back then, when I was nine, you didn't see them. It was unheard of. It was crazy. Right. Yeah. Okay. No, look, I'm not saying it's a ghostly thing or anything. What I'm saying is...
Well, you never know. You never know.
Yeah. Other people are saying, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's. That's kind of interesting. So let's kind of move on and move into.
It's kind of kooky, I know. Don't get me wrong. I know it's kind of kooky, and people are going to see it that way. But look, that's what I saw with my own eyes, and other people are making. They're exclaiming things, if you will.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Mr. Producer, get clip six ready. I wanted to play this one. It's just a couple minutes, and then we'll talk about it. This one's called It's All About Control. And you'll hear at the very end the voice talking, and it's the crazy SOB weirdo Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty good short clip, and go ahead and play it, clip six. It's bitchy.
So with regards to this insidious vaccine passport, which is going to eventually quickly be parlayed into an international app, which would be your digital identity that will track you and trace you, everything you buy, sell, everywhere you go, every place you step foot in, it'll have a record of that held on a blockchain accessible to the powers that be, whoever they are. Through big data, and that's going to be administrated because humans couldn't possibly do that job. That's going to be administrated by AI. Okay, and that is the end game. That is the holy grail of all of this. COVID is the pretext for it. It's the excuse for it. It's the gimmick. It's the gag. It's the scam. In order to get to that level of complete corporatized, transnationally corporatized control, through a digital identity system. Microsoft is definitely in the lead on this, but there's a number of other people that are nipping at the heels and who are taking money along the way because it's a hot commodity for development and everybody wants in there. This is a potentially a multi-trillion dollar global industry, which is the social engineering tracking industry. It's nothing to do with controlling a virus. It has nothing to do in reality with controlling a virus. That's theater. Okay? Has to do with controlling you, the public.
I think you will get to the stage where it's going to be very hard for people to do a lot of normal life unless they can prove their vaccination status.
Yeah.
People have got to understand vaccination is going to be, in the end, your route to liberty.
You can stop it there. Vaccination, Tony Blair, in the end, is going to be the route to liberty. Yeah. How do you like that little?
Yeah, gotta love it. And over here in Australia, we've got Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, that says Australians may need to show vaccine passports to travel interstate as the Prime Minister reveals his plan to reopen the international border after COVID-19 pandemic. You know, same sort of thing here. So it's going to get to a point, Rob, where if I want to get onto a bus and I've got to go to a medical situation, as you know, I've been in and out of hospital over the last 2 years. I might have to get onto a bus and they say, have you got your vaccine passport? And I say, no. And they say, well, then, sorry, you have to get off the bus. Or if I happen to be able to get on the train or something like that, they might say that when they come up and look at your tickets, they say, tickets, please. And then they you hand them the ticket. They say, where's your vaccine passport? It's not here. Oh, well, we're going to have to let you and your 15-year-old daughter off at the next stop. Hold on a second. It's winter. It's freezing cold. Are you serious? Are you really going to let us off at the next stop? Yes.
Hey, let me ask you this. Have they eased up on mask restrictions down there?
In my neck of the woods, yes, they have. There's still people that wear them. But
yeah, just like here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, like, it's no longer compulsory to wear it. Like, for instance, it's
so,
compulsory
so here's,
to wear
here,
it.
This is the point I wanted to make, because, see, over the last week to about 10 days, the CDC, the little gangsters that set the agenda here, have really kind of let up on the mask. So has this happened in the last like 7 to 10 days where they've really kind of changed some things, or has this been going on longer?
I'm not sure about the cities.
I'm trying to kind of feel if this is more of a, you know, a worldwide kind of move, or whether it was just the United States. So basically, we don't have to wear them right now to go back into stores or to go inside to eat or anything. But I'm almost having a feeling that this is a setup, because now, what season are you kind of moving into right now down there, Sean?
We're heading into winter, and just let me say this real quick. They still rather you wear them in stores, and it's compulsory to wear them in taxis, buses, trains, and everything like that.
It's a little more draconian for you down there right now. So we've been totally opened up here in my area. But my point is, you're going into winter. I'm going into summer, but I'm wondering if this is some sort of a little head fake, a little trap to say, okay, we let everybody take the masks off, and now, you know, we're a few months into this mask jab program, and a bunch of these people are going to be getting sick and shedding probably to other people with this jab, and then they're going to say, you see, we should have never took the masks off. You know, this is kind of like, I'm just seeing that you're going to see a bunch of people possibly drop dead from the damn jabs, like in much larger numbers. And that's the kind of point I was kind of.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they're doing. I have no doubt in my mind. They've taken the masks off as much as they possibly can. Besides in transport, like I said, like taxis, trains, buses, you've got to wear them. But we don't wear them. My daughter and I don't wear them. And when they say something, I say, sorry, we're exempt. And they go, okay, you're exempt, and they clamp our tickets, and then they walk away. But I'm absolutely sure of that. They're going to say, see, because we didn't wear masks, we all ended up sick, and you need to get the jab. And when they get the jab and we catch it from those that got the jab, they're going to say, see, it was you that didn't get the jab.
Yeah, that's sick.
it's so obvious. And what pees me off, to not use bad language, what really pees me off is that it's going to be those dummies. It's going to be those dummies, Rob, that say, oh, see, Sean, you were wrong all along. All of these people got sick because you didn't get the jab. Because they won't take those two proverbial steps back and think for themselves and say, hold on, maybe we got sick because we got the jab. You know,
So I would have played this one for you too before we let you go. This one's pretty interesting, and this was here at local St. Louis News. Mr. Producer, get clip 7 ready. Now, this is on the local St. Louis News, okay? And it's talking about how they don't want vaccinated people to donate plasma, not blood, but plasma. Because after I let Sean go in the next hour, I'm going to play another clip about donating blood, but this one's about plasma. You know how you can donate your plasma, and then allegedly, you know, that's going to help somebody else fight off this blah 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 blah. But go ahead and roll clip 7 real quick.
Frost says last week's snowstorm resulted in the cancellation of about 2,000 donor appointments statewide. Now it needs your help, but if you've gotten your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus. But the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
If you haven't been vaccinated and you recently have recovered from COVID-19, you can donate blood at one of our blood drives. We test all blood donations for COVID-19 antibodies. If you know ahead of time that you have recently recovered, then you'll get it. It'll show up. Your results will come up positive. We'll be able to pull the plasma from that whole blood donation. That'll go directly to one of the hospitals locally to a patient.
The Red Cross says whole blood donations are still critically important.
All
so
right,
whether you've received.
So did you hear that, Sean? If you're vaccinated, the vaccine wipes out the antibodies that you would naturally develop if you fought the thing off yourself.
But like I said, it's not even really a vaccine. Hey, Rob, yeah. I've got one for you. Have a quick listen to this one.
There's never been anything like this virus in our lifetime. Often, it's hard to see the effects it's having on our children. Has this conversation taken place in your home?
Mom, I'm scared about going back to school. I don't want to get sick, and I don't want to get you and Dad sick.
Our scientists tell us there are three things we must do to stay safe. Wear masks, make sure we social distance, and wash our hands. And now, your school, with the help of Microsoft Corporation, has created another. Introducing Daily Pass, your exclusive ticket for safely going back to school. Each week, you can schedule your free on-campus COVID test. The results are displayed in your Daily Pass. And if you choose to take your test off-campus, you can post the results in your Daily Pass. And the moment vaccinations are available, you'll simply be able to schedule yours through your Daily Pass. But the real magic is your daily health check. Just answer a few simple health questions every day, and like magic, your entrance ticket appears.
You can stop it, Mr. Sean. Yeah, I played that. I was looking at my notes, Sean. I played that some weeks back. That was from the California public school system, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I played that a few weeks back.
Yeah, listen to the Disney music. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah,
They're like, seriously, the propaganda is Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud type deep propaganda going on there.
That's sick.
It's sick. Yeah.
So we're getting to the end of the hour, Sean. Let's kind of wrap things up. And, you know, big picture, what do you think's going to happen? Is there going to be a real fight with, you know, these governments that are going to try to eventually possibly mandate these things for everybody? What do you see happening in the next number of months?
I think there's going to be a big fight. I really do, especially since Scott Morrison is saying that you're going to need a passport to travel, like on buses and trains.
Well, Andrew Cuomo, the mass murderer of New York, has already kind of started this Excelsior pass. Now the state of Oregon over on the left coast is talking about everybody's going to need one to go to church and blah, 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 blah. So it's already started here in our more Marxist-oriented states and municipalities. So we're facing the exact same template, both of our countries. Sean, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk soon.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.